Public enemy number one in Florida right now is a benign-looking insect. It's called the Asian citrus psyllid, and it's destroying Florida's citrus crop. This is Florida Matters.
Support for Florida Matters comes from the Hospitals of BayCare Health System, providing more than 100 health seminars, classes, and events each month. BayCare's mission is to build a healthier Tampa Bay. Register for a complimentary health seminar, class, or event at baycareevents.org.
From the Donna Studio at WUSF Public Media, I'm Robin Sussingham, in for Carson Cooper. The 2014-2015 citrus season just wrapped up in July, and it was pretty dismal. Agriculture Commissioner Adam Putnam called it a new low for our state's signature crop. Production was less than half of what it was in the late 90s, and all because of that invasive insect, the Asian citrus psyllid, and the disease called citrus greening that it's been spreading from tree to tree. For generations, Florida's citrus growers have faced challenges like hurricanes, blight, and freezes and always bounced back, but they've never contended with anything like the disease of citrus greening. The citrus industry is fighting for its life, and here with me in the studio to talk about those battles are Mike Sparks, Executive Vice President and CEO of Florida Citrus Mutual, Kevin Buffard, a senior reporter with the Ledger of Lakeland, who's covered the citrus industry for many years. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Kevin, what is citrus greening?
It's a bacterial disease that when it infects the tree, it initially damages the leaves, and it gradually causes a decline in the fruit production on the tree. And after several years, there's no fruit production, so the tree is essentially dead.
And the fruit can't be used; they drop off early. This is a bad disease. As far as we've heard of canker before, other various things. This seems worse.
Many people refer to canker as a common cold, one that we were able to whip, if you will, and ultimately survive and strive with the canker disease. But Florida citrus growers recognize this disease, Honglongbing or greening as it's referred to, of more of a cancer. That's how significantly, that's how very difficult it is to try to research and fight the battle against Honglongbing.
Yeah, Mike Sparks, Honglongbing, that's the official name of citrus greening. It sounds Asian. I guess that kind of gives you a clue
to the
Asian origin of this disease.
Right.
So, Mike, the Rick Scott administration does not like to ask for or rely on federal dollars. But what about in this case? Is the federal government doing enough to help us fight citrus greening?
You know, they are. And I am so proud of our entire Florida delegation. You and also identified Commissioner Adam Putnam, who helped lead the charge. For the first time, this year's Farm Bill, which really goes back 1 year, had $125 million dedicated to citrus pest and disease research. $25 million a year for 5 years. And even in that legislative authority, it suggested that if that was not enough, you could seek additional appropriation. So the federal government is there. The state of Florida with general appropriation is there. And by the way, the Florida Citrus Growers has funded the research also for the past 9 years.
I sat in on a briefing with Dr. Mary Palm. She's a federal employee who's heading up this Honglongbing multi-agency coordination group. The local growers who were there at that meeting, you could kind of feel the frustration in the room was palpable. And I don't know, you know, if it wasn't so much about money, I guess, but just why is this taking so long to find a answer to this problem?
There's no question in my mind the Florida citrus growers have fought the battle for 9 years. We have spent in research nearly $90 million during those 5 years. As you mentioned earlier, we've lost productions. Our crops are down. There's abandoned groves, over 130,000 acres in the state of Florida. There is a real sense of urgency. And maybe Mary Palm You know, she hasn't lived it. She hasn't walked through the groves in the state of Florida. She gets it now. But I think your point is that the Florida citrus growers are so frustrated, looking for even a good temporary solution, although the ultimate solution might be several, 10 years down the road.
Mm. Kevin, when you talk to growers, especially the smaller citrus growers, what are they telling you?
Well, that's a good point. I think the pessimism is greatest among the smaller growers. And by smaller growers, I would say even a grower with less than 1,000 acres or up to 1,000 acres. You know, they don't just have the financial resources that that the larger growers, the people with 2,000 up to 15,000 acres have, you know, to do to fight this disease. So they are most affected by things like pre-harvest drop and psyllids and things like that. So there is a lot of pessimism among the smaller growers. Among the larger growers, they are more optimistic, at least they're expressing more optimism. And I think they genuinely, because they have economies of scale and things like that, they can not only afford all the measures that you need to keep your trees healthy, but they, because they can guarantee or promise a certain amount of, a large amount of fruit to the processors, they would tend to get better prices for their fruit.
Mike, how much acreage in citrus is there in Florida?
Well, you know, that just, again, emphasizes the challenge that the Florida citrus grower has. At one time, we were well in excess of 800,000 acres in the state of Florida dedicated to citrus, and now just about 500,000 acres. So it's down substantially from our very best years.
That is down a lot. So what percentage, we were just talking about smaller growers being hit a lot harder than the real large industrial players in this. What's the percentage there? Like how many percent was with people with maybe 1,000 acres or less, and what percentage are the big growers?
You know, Florida Citrus Mutual represents all the citrus growers in the state of Florida. We still have over 6,000 members, and that question still becomes very difficult to answer. It's roughly your 80-20 rule that you see in so many industries. You know, the top 20% of those growers probably account for almost 80% of the crop. But that doesn't mean that the small and that medium-sized growers are important. They are. They have been they're in their fifth generation of growing citrus, and those families have put other families in business. And if you only have to look right down through the heart of the citrus industry, whether it's Fort Meade or Wauchula, those very towns exist on that small and medium-sized grower, as well as the large growers that Kevin identified earlier.
Right. So if you have 6,000 members, that would be a lot of smaller family farms. And are a lot of those people still depending on this as their primary source of income?
They really are. So now some have expanded to some other crops like peaches, but that's, quite honestly, that's a nice cottage industry for the state of Florida. When you have a Florida citrus industry, I would argue the signature agricultural crop in the industry still represents $10 billion in economic activity. Recognizing how important that is and the fact that our soil and our climate is perfectly suited for citrus. The hot, humid nights and the rain that we've been getting now and the sandy soil, perfect for citrus. That's why we've been around, nearly 100 years.
I would add that, yes, I think citrus really is the state's signature crop. And citrus has so many more advantages among any of the other traditional crops or any of these alternative crops like peaches and blueberries. All the other crops have very short growing seasons, sometimes as short as like a month to 6 weeks for blueberries. Citrus, the citrus harvesting season runs from October all the way through June right now. And it's got this massive infrastructure of processing plants, packing houses, as well as the growers. So it's still a really important industry to Florida, and there's really no substitute out there yet for it.
They say a $10 billion economic impact to the state of Florida.
Correct.
There's tens of millions of dollars being dedicated, at least, to scientific research right now. I think scientists all around the country are working on it. So what's the most promising scientific research right now, Kevin?
I would say the most promising is they call them heat thermotherapy or heat treatments. They have proven that if you heat up a citrus tree to somewhere in the range of 110 to 120 degrees for even as little as like a half a minute, it will kill the bacteria in the tree. Now, the problem is you can do that for an individual tree, but how do you scale that up to thousands of acres? You know, they are still very much working on some type of system that they can apply thermotherapy over a large acreage.
And that seems expensive.
Yes, it would be very expensive. And the other things, you know, they are working on so-called antibiotic treatments that would kill the greening bacteria in the tree, and that's especially important for mature trees.
And that would be applied like a special fertilizer or something?
Again, the big problem with that is, yes, how do you apply it? I mean, can you spray it? Can you apply it to the roots? Can you whatever? Do you have to inject it right into the trunk? And again, how do you make that economical over this, you know, thousands of acres?
Well, I've been blaming this psyllid. Why don't they just spray? Why don't they just kill this bug?
Yeah, you'd need to talk to an entomologist.
Robin, and there's work going on with all these millions of dollars. And can you interrupt the mating system, the process on the psyllid? Can you try to use a sterile fly approach? Mm. All of that's being worked on. But this bug, no country in the world in the past, in our history, has ever whipped the psyllid in this disease. It is the most frustrating situation with the psyllid. Growers now, part of our research says, growers get in smaller groups. Get in something that's called a CHEMA, a citrus management health area. Spray at the same time. Get that psyllid out of those productive groves. But unfortunately, that psyllid can go down the road, maybe even to an abandoned grove that still has a little bit of flush, be able to maintain its existence.
Hang out there for
hang
a while.
Out, and then and come back to commercial.
And I want to get back for a second to the idea of the small family farm and the changes that are coming to Florida's citrus industry. What's the prognosis for the future of citrus in Florida? Mike, what's going to happen to the family farm? Do you see big changes ahead?
Well, you know what? The small family farm is it's going to be challenged. There is no question. Some of the items that we talked about, the temporary solutions, the antimicrobial, the heat treatment, even those to get your crop back, and some of those antimicrobials are two and a half years away. And then you have to hope that, as Kevin mentioned, you get the rootstock. So you have extreme pressure on those small and mid-sized growers.
You really have to have deep pockets to deal with that.
You do. I mean, it used to be that you could average a production cost per acre, maybe $900 an acre. With the fight against the psyllid and the additional spraying and the heat and the health treatments for the trees, many growers now are spending $2,200, more than doubled. So you can see where the production costs are really a challenge for the grower.
Well, how are the citrus growers doing financially right now? How much profit would you say they're making per acre right now?
Oh, well, boy, that's a, I wish I knew that.
Mike, do you have – I mean, I'm wondering how they're doing. I mean, it doesn't
In general, okay, I do that every year. I do a summary of the citrus season. So, again, the larger growers, even the larger growers will say, because I got a little better yields and I can afford the costs, and Mike is absolutely right on those cost figures, because I can afford that. In this past season, I just barely eked by. I just made a profit. But for the smaller growers, either they didn't spend the money, that kind of money, but as a result, their fruit production would have gone way down, and they just wouldn't have had enough fruit to sell to make a profit. So I would say, in general, the larger growers broke even or did okay, did a little bit of profit, but the smaller growers, this was probably a loss.
I'm just wondering, are we going to ever see another fortune made in the citrus industry? Are we going to see another Ben Hill Griffin or Likes Brothers coming on to the scene, Mike?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you mentioned earlier in the discussions that we have survived hurricanes and freezes. The state of Florida is perfectly suited for citrus. We're going to whip this disease. I don't know if it's going to be in 2 years or 5 years, but at the end of the day, we're going to replant. And those growers that invest now are going to reap very good returns. The Florida processors are trying to source product as we speak. I don't know when or how, but we will not lose the Florida citrus industry. Don't write our obituary just yet.
Coming up?
Even as recently as, say, 5 years ago, nobody thought that we would get below 100 million boxes of oranges in this season.
I'm Robin Sessingham. This is Florida Matters. This is Florida Matters. I'm Robin Sessingham, sitting in for Carson Cooper. We're talking about challenges to the citrus industry, big challenges. With me in the studio are Mike Sparks, he's Executive Vice President and CEO of Florida Citrus Mutual, and Kevin Buffard, a senior reporter with the Ledger of Lakeland, who's covered the citrus industry for many years. Let's look at marketing, what there is available. I spoke to a spokesperson for the Department of Citrus recently, and he said they're in an interesting situation because as there's less oranges produced, they still have to market Florida orange juice. They've partnered with Marvel Comics, and the new spokesman is Captain Citrus. And we're going to take a listen.
Captain Citrus here. To protect the groves, I need to be on top of my game. That's why I drink 100% Florida orange juice, packed with the Amazing Five. Now y'all can see how my smart choice helps me make a difference every day.
That's Captain Citrus. Mike, how's that going? How's the marketing program going?
Well, you certainly want to believe, and that's a perfect program. It reminds us of the nutritional value. I mean, the bottom line is a glass of Florida orange juice is the most nutrient-dense 100% juice on the market.
I wonder, though, if you hear about orange juice as much as you did in the days of Anita Bryant and songs.
No question about it. You don't. In the Department of Citrus, with reduced number of boxes, and they get a marketing fee on the number of boxes, there's less dollars available. So they're forced to go into the smaller public relations campaigns, maybe much more into Facebook public relations. But they have lost, the Florida citrus growers have lost that national advertising campaign like the Anita O'Brien's, and that really put us on the map. We're in some retail promotions, but we're not even national like we used to be. So the Department of Citrus and the growers relying on a scaled down marketing effort at the department. But don't forget the major brands like Florida's Natural, Tropicana, Minute Maid. They're in there promoting their brand which will also help the movement of orange juice, even though consumption is also way down.
What do you see, Kevin?
Well, first of all, it should be pointed out that on a seasonal basis, orange juice sales have been going down. This will be the 13th out of the last 14th season to see a decline in orange juice sales. And even that one outlier, it went up 1%. But it's interesting that you mention Anita Bryant. That is still considered the most successful, most popular orange juice campaign, and it was a national TV campaign. But a year ago, the department had to completely abandon any national TV advertising.
Too expensive.
The crop has been going down almost 60% in the last 10 years, and so their budget has gone down accordingly.
Yeah, that's
so
another.
They just don't have the money for national TV advertising. And they did that for 50 years until last year.
That's an important point, is that it's not a taxpayer. The marketing Department of Citrus is not really taxpayer funded. It comes, the growers tax themselves.
Exactly.
So as they make less money, they have less money for marketing. I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about labor. This has always been a big issue for the citrus industry, getting the fruit off of those trees. So I've seen that the federal guest worker program has been described as difficult. Why is that, Mike?
Well, you know, you're describing the only guest worker program that's available to harvest our fruits and vegetables. And it's called the H-2A program. It's not for the faint of heart. It is difficult. And yet, 85% of our crop now is harvested by H-2A labor. Guest workers, they come over primarily from Mexico. They're provided housing, certainly no families. They work very hard on jobs that Americans will not take. And then their payment is far in excess what they can make in Brazil. But it is a government-run organization. For example, there are small contracts where the citrus grower, the harvester on each group of labor pays for those men to come from Mexico to the crop. They're guaranteed certain housing. They're guaranteed so much work. At the end of this year, for example, we had a horrific situation. It gets hot, as everybody knows, in the state of Florida. You're into June and you have the last 10% of your crop you need to harvest. That's probably the grower's profit right there.
Right.
And unfortunately, many of these workers who were under contract absconded.
They didn't want to work in that heat.
They didn't want to work in the heat. In fairness, there was not nearly amount of fruit. And often they get a certain wage, but a premium if they can pick and harvest more than the standard. They weren't going to meet that standard in many cases because the fruit was not available. So they did leave the work site. They should not be permitted to participate in the H-2A program next year. In fact, in just a couple of weeks, I have several growers going with me to Washington, D.C. to talk to the United States Department of Labor about some of the frustrations, like the absconding situation.
What did the growers do then when they lost their labor?
Well, you know what? It was a panic situation. So you lost 85% of that workforce at the very end, but there's 15% of the traditional labor that was available. Those harvesters that had the traditional labor literally had to then follow up at a price to those growers that lost their labor to get the crop in. The good news is we did not lose. There was no fruit left hanging on the tree. It could have been a horrific situation, much worse than what we had. But again, it was the ability to kind of work together to get the entire crop in.
Kevin, you've been around a while reporting on this. There have been a lot of other disasters in Florida citrus. What sets this apart?
Well, I mean, I've often said that greening is the greening thing is kind of like the boy who cried wolf. Yes, in the past there was canker, there were other diseases that they thought would be devastating and very damaging, and even the people say destroy the industry. But as Mike said, they've always managed to find a way through it. It's still an open question whether we'll find our way through greening. The trends just definitely are not good, and especially this season. I think this season, which is why Adam Putnam made the statement that he did about the low point, this season was the first time the orange crop dipped below 100 million boxes in 49 years. And so that was an important psychological turning point when we dipped below 100 boxes. It was particularly hard because even as recently as, say, 5 years ago, nobody thought that we would get below 100 million boxes of oranges in this season. Most of the predictions had put it into the 20s somewhere where we would get below 100 million boxes. So there's that factor going on too. So yes, there is a lot of science. There are some promising things going on, but and I would agree with Mike. I wouldn't count it out, but it's still an open question.
In the past, whether it was a freeze or a hurricane or some of the diseases that research was available to whip right away, the grower had that confidence to replant. Right now, that level of confidence is not there. And so he's apprehensive in many cases. At the same time, there's other growers that feel that they have if they can control the psyllid, if they can almost isolate the citrus groves, there's major replantings going on. There's incentives from some of the brands like Florida's Natural to encourage growers to plant more. And quite honestly, Florida Citrus Mutual is in Washington, D.C. as we speak, looking at other financial incentives where a grower might consider replanting.
Well, unfortunately, that's all we have time for today. I want to thank my guests, Mike Sparks with Florida Citrus Mutual, Kevin Buffard with The Ledger in Lakeland. Thank you both so much for being with me today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I enjoyed it. Thanks for inviting me.
Florida Matters is produced by Lottie Watts, engineered by Craig George, and is a production of WUSF Public Media. I'm Robin Sessingham, sitting in for Carson Cooper. Thanks for listening.